Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friend, I'm Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are. Larson, right now is usually when we'd go in our spiel about being on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can contribute financially to the show, or when we talk about prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw, where you can buy our merchandise. However, I want to make a quick announcement in lieu of doing those things, even though I just did them.
Yes, you did.
The announcement is this. Now, we sort of covered this in the dirt sheet like 2 weeks ago, I think, where we talked about the whole YouTube monetization revenue thing. And so as a business, we have reached out. We have found advertisers, sponsors for the show. Keep an eye out for them. This is not news. This is not exclusive to our show. Every YouTube channel essentially is experiencing a downturn in revenue right now.
Oh, yes.
And so we reached out to our people, to our network people, there's going to be some very, very minor changes. Like I said, we're going to have some sponsors. We're very excited about it. Here's the thing. We didn't really see, like, we've been very, very excited about the sort of the direction of the channel.
Yes.
And the reception that we've gotten.
Yes.
For Going In Raw.
Yes.
And we really want to grow. And it's hard to grow when your main source of revenue is like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's very volatile.
Like our numbers, our view numbers, especially since WrestleMania.
Been fantastic.
Have been really, really good. And we have like half the revenue to show for it.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that we're on stable ground so we can continue bringing this. And not only do we want to make sure we're on stable ground, we want to grow our business like any business should want to do.
Yes.
Which includes like the possibility of bringing in editors, which means more content for you guys. We have a lot of different ideas, and to execute them, we need a little bit of this.
Well, we need more hours in the day, too.
Yeah, there's that also. And editors can take over some of the hours that we're currently spending on working on stuff.
Yes.
And so because of all that, we went out and tried and had our network people try to find some sponsors. We found some great ones.
Yeah.
And so, that's going to be happening in the near future. Very exciting. The changes for you as the audience will be this. If you're listening to this on the audio side of things, you're going to hear us read sponsored advertisements,
mm-hmm,
essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ensure that they sort of don't break up or they don't interfere with the show. They're not going to be obnoxious, and they're for products that we like.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this on YouTube with ad block, you're going to be watching us read ads.
Yes.
If you're watching this without ad block, the ads that, or the episodes that are sponsored are going to have far fewer YouTube ads.
Yes.
Probably just one at the beginning and one at the end.
Probably.
Yeah. And so that's it. That's going to be it. It's kind of exciting. We like to be fully transparent for our audience.
Absolutely.
Anyways, how was your weekend, Larson?
I have a headache.
You know what? I got a cure for that headache. CM Punk is coming back, baby.
To wrestling?
To TV.
Where?
To MTV.
Are they bringing back Wrestling Society X?
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
No. The challenge, champs versus pros.
What is the challenge?
All right, so the limited amount of research that we've done shows that it's like there's two teams.
Yeah.
And then they do challenges.
Yeah.
To determine top team.
And then top challenger, right?
Yeah. And then so
is this like a real world versus road rules challenge?
I think that's where it has its origins.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. That's where The Miz came from.
Yes.
So there is a press release today that said CM Punk is going to be joining the cast of
The Challenge Champs versus Pros. And I guess the premise is that 10 athletes will compete against 10 former winners of the challenge.
Right, the best winners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some notable names included on Team Pros, mm-hmm. along with CM Punk, who is billed as a UFC fighter.
Okay.
Include former football player Sean Merriman and Cameron Wimbley,
mm-hmm.
Former Olympian Lolo Jones,
mm-hmm.
and former WNBA player Candace Wiggins.
Yeah.
And there's others. There's some other Olympians and professional like skateboarders and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, so CM Punk is going to be returning to TV. I think, here's my thing. When we first saw this, I was like, wait a second. They're billing him as a UFC fighter. Is he going to have to do any actual... I thought when I saw this, it was going to be like pros versus Joes.
Well, your worry was that there was going to be some fighting involved, and since he's billed as a UFC fighter, if he fought somebody and lost, he'd be humiliated on MTV.
And let me tell you, he would lose. So I'm glad it's not that.
Yes.
Do you remember, did you ever watch Pros versus Joes back in
no.
the day? I remember there was one episode. So they would always tell the Joes. That was a show on Spike TV, I think, where they took guys who were like Joes, but amateurs, but, you know, athletic, knew what they were doing. And they pitted them in challenges that were specific to the sports of the pros.
Yes.
So you'd have to like outrun like a former running back, you know, stuff like that, and catch football. I remember they would always have the Joes talk smack to the pros. And they would always do it.
Yeah.
Except when Randy Couture, it was when he had retired, but it was before he came back and won the heavyweight title in the UFC.
Yeah.
Nobody would talk shit about Randy Couture. Like when they would have, they were like, I don't want to face him. He's scary. I remember they had the look of fear in their eyes. It would be like staring across at Brock Lesnar now.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
it'd yeah,
be
yeah.
like, okay, well, I might have to race. You know, I don't know who's a running back who retired 10 years ago. You know, I might have to race Jerry Rice, you know, which would still be, I couldn't do that. Nobody could do that. I mean, he's probably still really fast.
Yeah.
Apparently Michael Jordan's still a really good baller.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but like, and then, you know, you have Jerry Rice there, but it's like, oh, this is an old man. I got to race him. And then Brock Lesnar standing there. It's like, I might have to fight that guy. Fuck that.
No.
You know what I mean?
I quit.
But that's not the situation here. This seems like it's a team of individuals. I think this fits Punk's. This is going to be good for him.
It could be. And also,
he's a very witty guy. He's a great personality.
Yes, he is. He'll make for some good television. Mm-hmm. But also, the winner is vying for a chance to win $50,000 for their charity of choice.
Exactly.
So yeah. It's ultimately for a good cause.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of feels like, you know what? I think that CM Punk. You know, we sort of talked about this back when he first like wasn't coming back, and then is he going to come back, and then he's doing the UFC. It sort of became like, well, what is he like? Just out of curiosity, like being interested in his, you know, work as a whole. Like, what is this individual going to be doing with his life?
Yeah,
and we kind of speculated he's going to be doing this kind of stuff. Like he did the Nerdist stuff where he was like the grammar guy, cop or whatever.
Yeah, and then he did Talking Dead a few times.
He did Talking Dead. He did like wrote comic books, which I think he said he's not going to be doing much of anymore.
And then he got into MMA.
Yeah. And yeah, but that's not gonna, he's not doing it anymore. And
no, he still is doing that.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah, he's still training. He wants to fight again.
Oh, that's right.
There was talk, you know, because when he lost the first fight in such a decisive fashion, Dana White, you know, said odds are his next fight.
That's right.
Wouldn't be UFC, yeah. But he's been kind of saying something else these days.
Yeah.
Once he saw the buy rate for the pay-per-view.
Well, maybe if he sees CM Punk winning one of these challenges, he'll be even more bullish on getting him back
into
the fold.
But then again, I don't know how much time this is going to take to shoot. Say it's a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a month he's not training.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming even though, you know, the winner gets money for charity, everybody that's doing the show gets paid.
Mm-hmm. Do they still do the old school Real World?
I have no idea.
They need to bring CM Punk into that. There we go. Why is the fridge open? Where's the milk? I don't know what they do in that show anymore. As far as I know, like after I stopped watching Real World, which was literally probably around 20 years ago, it just turned into like a sex fest. Like it was just like once they hit, I think, Vegas, it was all just hot tubs and sex. Like after they got out of Seattle, where things are kind of like down, they just were like, oh, let's go to Vegas. And when they found out that people just want to see 20-somethings in hot tubs having sex, they ran with that.
And that's just what it was, huh?
Yeah, put CM Punk on that. You're Phil of CM Punk. He's on
it's been a while since we had him on a thumbnail, so we thought hey, here's some kind of news about CM Punk.
This is going to be the best thumbnail ever because on one hand we have CM Punk. On the other hand, Larson, Scott Steiner's coming back. I know you're happy about this.
Do I look happy about it?
I think you were so hyped over this that that's why I didn't receive any texts from you about the subject. Scott Steiner has returned. He is making impact.
Oh, hold on. We should have said
wrestling.
Spoiler alert because I'm assuming in the thumbnail and title, we're not going to reveal.
Yeah, fuck we.
Return.
I actually envision. Look, dude, it's impact. Who cares?
No, I know.
I envision.
But for the five people who weren't aware of the spoilers, based, I mean, I know even Impact Wrestling's Twitter blew it up that
yeah.
Scott Steiner's coming back.
As far as I'm concerned, they ruined their own spoiler. But
no, I know they
Impact
did.
Wrestling. Scott, look, Scott Steiner's going to be in our thumbnail. He's going to be. I'm. You know how we usually do for this episode, for this show, we do like a split screen thumbnail.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be Scott Steiner. Scott
Double
Steiner.
Steiner.
Yeah, because he wants more Ornello in a thumbnail.
Can we do Scott Steiner and Dog Steiner?
Yes, yes, we can.
How
absolutely.
How come Dog Steiner didn't come back? That I would have been excited about.
I'll be honest. This Dog Steiner right here, he's long past. He even
well, I
here.
Did,
he,
I don't.
Oh, look
I don't.
At, he's such a baby.
I don't expect the same Dog Steiner. I'm just asking for a Dog.
Dude, there's
Steiner.
One. If Rick Steiner died, would you expect another Rick Steiner to come out? No.
No.
Dog Steiner is. This is the only Dog
but remember,
Steiner.
Remember, that's
there
not
is.
Dog Steiner. That's Scott Steiner in dog form. Just have him change the dog.
Oh, I thought that's the same thing. That is the same thing. Dog well, Steiner is Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I know. But then if you say that dog is passed, then how did Scott Steiner show up on TV? Or at Impact yesterday.
Oh, man, you totally got me there. That's a
I
good
did.
Point. That's a good point. Anyway, Scott Steiner returned to the Impact Zone last night during the latest round of Impact TV tapings, aligning himself with Josh Matthews. And
I thought you said the storyline was done.
One of our friendos said that it was done.
Oh.
They tweeted. No, I think one of our, I think, I don't know.
I thought you watched an episode and it seemed like they put this storyline to bed.
No, the only episode I watched was when it was full force and then Team Borash, I read, won the whatever, but then
oh.
I guess Josh Matthews decided that he's not done, and so he went to Shoney's. I really hope that they do one of their little vignettes, one of their little video vignettes, where it shows Josh Matthews going to Shoney's in Ackworth, Georgia,
yeah,
and enlisting the aid of Scott Steiner to come back to Orlando?
Yeah.
Orlando. To help him against
Jeremy Borash.
Well,
it is. That's
like,
a 7.5-hour drive. That's a good drive from Ackworth, Georgia, down to Orlando. We mapped it out because we thought about making the trip up to Shoney's.
Well, Josh Matthews, he ain't got nothing better to do. He wasn't. He lost. So what better way? You know, what better way to spend your time than by enlisting the aid of Big Papa Pump? Holler if you hear me. I would be wearing his shirt right now because I have a Big Papa Pump shirt. One of the friends got it for me. It's very, but I wore it to the gym the other day while I was getting my Freakzilla workout
so,
going.
Getting your pump on, getting working on your peaks.
And I had like two voluptuous, scantily clad women around me, and I was just bench lifting them and like logs and saying that if.
Well, hold
you're,
on.
If
second.
You're in
you
pain,
get, you
work
get,
through
you
it.
You have to get your terminology right. It's not bench lifting, it's bench pressing.
Yeah, but this is Scott Steiner lingo. You don't know what he calls it.
I'm sure he calls it bench
I'm
pressing.
Bench,
too.
I'm bench lifting these whatever he freaks. Anyways, this is amazing. This is fantastic. There are stills of this. There's like a really quick video snippet on. So the big question is right here. Number one jobber Alex Ponce asks this. Are you going to start watching Impact now? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Can I do weekly?
Have at it.
Impact.
On your channel, sure.
On my channel, youtube.com/MFSteve.
Yes.
You know, I basically abandoned that channel.
Well, here's a good
YouTube
way.
YouTube revenue is so low.
Here's a good way to bring a spotlight to it. Because I don't. Steiner's back. Okay.
I'm not going to. I won't.
It's
I won't
not
mention.
Enough really for me to tune into Impact.
I won't mention any other spoilers. However, Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling title is back in a big way.
There's a question about Global Force Wrestling later
no.
on that
okay.
we'll get to.
Well, let's find out from Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. He asks, with big debuts and returns and Impact, Big Papa Pump being the one we're talking about right now, but there's also another one. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be the next big name wrestler to debut or return? So we're looking for people who are on the outs with WWE who cannot return to WWE. That's exclusively who, or people who get on Periscope and run down the WWE.
Yes.
Those types of individuals.
Theoretically speaking, a wrestler who is not on good terms with WWE, who maybe in the next couple of years be looking for some work.
Uh-huh.
Although I don't think he necessarily had a good first run in TNA or Impact would be CM Punk.
Oh, God.
That's never going to happen.
No, that will not happen.
Trying to think who
Jack
else.
Jack Swagger, maybe. I can see because Zeb Coulter. What's his name?
Dutch Mantel.
Thank you. Dutch Mantel is there.
Yeah.
I could see, and he still does the We the People thing.
Yeah, I know, but he's not really an Impact player.
Tell me you couldn't see. He is. That's a 99% lock that Jack Swagger is going to be with
oh,
TNA.
Oh, yeah.
That's a freaking lock.
I know, but I don't think it's going to persuade anybody to tune in to Impact on a regular basis.
Oh, no. Steiner is pretty much the only, Steiner. I mean, if the question is, who can you see returning? I can see Jack Swagger returning. CM Punk would make me tune in.
Yeah, he's pretty much the only one.
How high do you think their ratings are going to go if CM Punk shows up on Impact?
What are they now?
Low?
Doubled.
to better?
To mediocre.
To better. Oh, man, that's great. Let's see here.
Phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega. How many promos will it take before Scott Steiner calls someone a
fat bastard?
Or plugs Shoney's? I'm guessing to answer the first part of the question, two at most.
Immediate. Oh, I would, yeah. Two at most, but I guess depending on who on Jeremy Borash's team, which I don't know. I mean, Jeremy Borash isn't a chubby guy.
There's a wrestler named Joseph Park.
Is he fat? Is he tubby?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. If there's somebody who can even be remotely classified as overweight at all, if there's anybody remotely hossish that he could be targeting, then he's going to call them a fat bastard.
Yeah.
He might actually use the opportunity to plug Shoney's and refer to customers there as fat bastards. Oh, that's Abyss, dude. That's Abyss.
Well, I just searched Joseph Park.
Okay, that's probably the alternate. Then that's Abyss. It's like his alter ego, I would imagine.
Okay, then.
Abyss. Joseph Park? Yay or nay? Joseph Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, he can call Joseph Park a fat bastard.
What about the Shoney's part? You think how many promos is it going to take before he does that?
I would think not, because that's not like... Okay, he showed up, dude. He showed up in full Scott Steiner, like leather jacket from the 80s.
The chainmail hat. Yeah.
Sunglasses.
Yeah.
Full bastard Steiner is back.
So he probably wants to separate his wrestling persona from his business.
Genteel restaurateur doesn't really play into what he does.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
So he probably will. Yes, good point.
Yeah.
Keep those two worlds separate.
Exactly. Torn Brennan Hardy wants to know, do you guys like what Impact is doing so far? It seems like they're getting a more stable ground for talent, getting wrestlers everyone has been used to in the past. He says he personally likes it because it gives ex-WWE guys that didn't get a real push or chance to shine on a different platform.
And another angle to this question is Ivan Rodriguez. Do you guys think that the recent return of Steiner and Slapnuts behind the scenes will just hurt Impact in the long run, as they are just rehashing old talent and didn't add much star power instead of investing in a decent creative team to work with the younger talent? I'm in more agreement with Ivan Rodriguez. I think this is like a parody of old TNA.
Okay. I'm going to look here.
Which was
thing.
In itself trying to resurrect the corpse of WCW.
I'm going to do this, dude. I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to be, what is it, bullish? What's good? Bullish or?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to be bullish on TNA. I'm going to start watching. Because here's the thing. Right now, from what I understand, they have some interesting stuff going on with EC3, with Ethan Carter III. Mm-hmm. They have some good stuff going on with him. Alberto is looking possibly to be taken on Bobby Lashley at Slammiversary.
No, Lashley is EC3.
Oh, it's EC3?
Yeah, sorry, spoiler alert. That hasn't happened to the tapings, too, this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking about the spoilers then, later. Trevor Lee is there.
Yeah.
I think there's some good stuff going on. Let me proffer this. I would have, because of what their title scene seems to be like right now, I would seem to think that the Scott Steiner thing and inevitably the Jeff Jarrett appearance, I think those would probably be more like the super budget version of WWE, how they use their part-timers.
No, I understand that.
Not integral to their base storylines.
Well, hold on a second.
But something to bring in eyes.
Hold on. Here's the thing. This is what I'm worried about, though. Let's say they take that route and it doesn't translate into increased ratings.
Okay.
They have one more viewer with me.
Which is highly likely.
Judging by my Twitter feed, dude, it was, I looked at my notifications, it was 20 plus. I was like, okay, this, it's all going to be Steiner. And sure
enough, because everybody knows you're a Steiner mark.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's going to, I think it's going to, like, for our audience, this was a kind of funny thing. And this is what I love about our audience, that we have our proclivities that are so hardcore.
Yeah.
When the Bollywood boys showed up on SmackDown and did what they did, they helped gender get over.
Mm-hmm.
My Twitter feed, because everybody wanted to catch, people were looking for my reaction to that on the show. And that's going to make them tune. I think they're wanting to see my reaction to Steiner might get them to tune in. Now, maybe I'm blowing smoke up my own ass. I have no idea what that would be. But I think a couple more people are going to tune in for Steiner. I think we're at the point in the wrestling universe where, oh my God, Scott Steiner's back. What is he going to say? You don't think that people are going to tune in for that?
I mean, I don't really care.
I don't think it's going to be en masse.
No, because I think anything of note will be available after the fact on YouTube, so I don't have to sit there and watch two hours of Impact.
That's fine, but people, the more eyes are on the Impact brand right now because of Scott Steiner.
Yeah, but it'll be fleeting.
What were you going to say with your, you said...
Oh, because it seems fairly obvious that in certain respects, a lot of respects, Jeff Jarrett is trying to bring back the golden
era of
TNA, which is what, 2003 to 2005?
I mean, I guess it could be debated, but I would think that what you're talking about is
pretty true. Much when he was in control of things and was champion.
That's what he would consider the golden era. I can agree.
And I from my understanding, the ratings were better then than they are now.
Yeah, the ratings actually, there was a very short spell where they were pretty decent.
I know.
They're okay.
The wrestling landscape is a lot different now than it was more than a decade ago. Fans are different.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
The talent's better than ever. They tried to get Leo Rush. If they could have got him, that you wouldn't have tuned in for that?
Maybe.
For Leo Rush?
I might have tuned in for Leo Rush.
Trevor Lee is there.
I know.
Apparently there was a really good X Division match.
I understand. But I don't think, you know, because they brought back in, what's his name, Magnus?
Yeah, they
brought him back.
Yeah.
Who else did they bring back? LAX brought them back.
Yeah.
I don't know if these returns have translated into, you know, popped ratings or not.
Right.
But I just don't know if that's enough to kind of say, okay, look, Impact, we're on stable ground. We kind of, you know, a lot of the talents that you knew 10 years ago are back here now.
Yeah.
But is that what wrestling fans want?
Well, okay, here's the thing. It honestly depends on how, I guess the term would be self-aware, Jeff Jarrett is.
Yeah.
On how tuned in to the current landscape he is. It's telling that he's not the Global Force Wrestling champion. That's telling. Because
I don't think he ever was, though, was he?
I don't think he was either, but that's kind of a thing.
How long is it going to be before he is?
Okay, here's why I'm optimistic, and we can totally differ on this, and it's totally cool. Here's why I'm optimistic. I would hope. What have we said about the wrestling landscape in terms of the level of talent these days?
Oh, it's never been better.
It's never been better. Dude, you can go to Progress, you can go to PWG, you can go to All Pro Wrestling, which we need to get out to one of these days because it's close.
I know.
Ish. You can go to SPW.
And they put on good shows.
In town. And they put on good shows. There is a wealth of really good talent out there. If they use Steiner and if Jeff Jarrett thinks that people are going to tune in to watch him, that's fine. If they bring them in.
And get more eyeballs on the product so they get exposed to this other talent and will tune on a more regular basis.
Now the question is, are they going to build that talent into the main event stars? And if he goes, I watched a match the other day I sing Pluto TV. I sing their praises as high as I possibly can. They have an entire TNA channel.
Yeah.
And I watched, it was probably 2005, 2006, whenever, when Jeff Jarrett put AJ Styles over, when Tito Ortiz was their guest ref, and he put AJ Styles over as new world champ. If that's what they're looking to replicate, only not mess it up by having the clique come, you know, guys like, you know, the old timers come in and dominate.
Yeah.
If they're learning from their mistakes, maybe we're looking at something that's going to be really good here. And I'm gonna give it a chance and find out whether or not we'll cover it here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, like you said earlier, there are only so many hours in the day, and devoting time to that.
It's another 2 hours of watching wrestling plus finding time, because that's on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And then finding time on Friday to shoot something to get it up at a reasonable.
I literally couldn't do that. I could maybe do something on Monday, but man, you guys know, look, we produce a lot of content.
Yeah.
So it's just finding the time, scratching out the time to cover it just is not going to be that easy.
No.
And so I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know if maybe I'll cover it on MF Steve here as a lark, because I mean, the bottom line is you live a half hour away. And so some of the thing is simply, you know, you being here in the same room with me. You know, it's one thing for me to, well, I'm done with dinner, the kid's down to sleep, I can do something real quick.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just teleport your ass over here to do it with me. So, you know, there is an element of, hey, maybe Steve can do it on his own over on my channel. Would I do that? I mean, because I watch it on Saturdays when they do the replay. I mean, if I'm going to watch it,
yeah,
I'll watch it on Saturday on the Pluto TV replay, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't even know if that's stable.
Yeah,
I think knows. I was paying attention on Saturday night, and I didn't notice it there. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just kind of, you know.
I'll say this really quick before I'm sorry. I'll cut you out, and then I'll let you go. One of our friendos did mention there was a fantastic X Division match on Twitter. If we get more of that, if we get people on Twitter saying, dude, you have to check this out because these matches are fantastic with guys like Trevor Lee,
mm-hmm.
then that would be much more of a reason for you and I to tune
in. Yeah. I'd rather have that as a reason to tune in versus Scott Steiner coming out.
Because, dude, if PWG all of a sudden had a weekly cable show,
well, that'd be great.
We would be covering
that.
So, Impact Wrestling, if you're paying attention, I know you're not. If you are, if you're going to generate buzz via good matches and not stunts like Steiner,
mm-hmm.
then we'll pay. Then you'll get coverage from a wrestling podcast like ours.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that they would find a way to turn it around more than any other reason, just so the wrestlers that are employed by Impact have a place to work.
Sure.
But if history is any indication, I'm not optimistic.
But we don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, you're right. If history is to be taken into account. So, you know, we'll pay attention. We'll see what they do.
I'll keep my eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
But until, you know, like I said, Steiner's showing up with obvious back issues.
Yeah.
Because his posture wasn't very good.
Maybe I'll Skype in the Dead Commissioner Ulysses.
There you go. He likes Impact, doesn't he?
Well, why don't we just have him shoot a...
Yeah, he should do our Impact thing.
He'll do our Impact thing. We'll run it here on the channel.
There you go.
If he wants to Ulysses!
Give us a weekly 10-minute Impact
breakdown. Do you guys want to see a 10-minute Impact Wrestling breakdown with Ulysses?
Yeah, we'll run that on our channel.
So many F-words in that shit.
I know.
He curses a lot.
He does. Next question.
Yeah.
Empire Filth Hunter Troy Inman. With Steiner showing up at the latest taping and your knowledge of Impact TNA, very limited, honestly. Do you think that, on our part, do you think that he will be a part of some larger faction? Historically, there have been some large factions in TNA, such as Fortune in Aces and Eights.
You know, my favorite story about Aces of Eights was, which I actually thought at the time was kind of cool.
It had promise.
It did. It really did. I just like that. Like, the people that would come out and be Aces of Eights when they were still masked, like, didn't end up being.
I know.
It's like, man, you're giving me clues, body type and stuff like that, but it's not helping me. It's not like a mystery I can solve.
Yeah.
Based on
whoever was handy backstage that they needed to fill out the ranks.
That's great. We have a question here from 3-time Motor City champion Gene the Grappler. Global Force Wrestling and Impact Wrestling are now one promotion. And Jeff Jarrett essentially said that. He said day by day they're becoming one.
Yes.
He said he thinks that's interesting but sad. His question is, do you think Impact will have a second show to showcase GFW, or GFW titles be phased into Impact titles just like WWE?
Based on what we've heard, I think about tapings and just kind of general rumors, it seems like the latter is the more likely scenario.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let me ask you this.
A second show, let's wait and see how the first one goes first. And then if that does well, then think about a second show.
Let me
show.
Ask you this. Is there any way if the rumor is to be true and there's going to be some sort of unification match between the Impact World Championship and GFW World Championship at like Slammiversary or something like that, if there's going to be a unification bout, what wins out? Like, I mean, terms, not like who wins, but what is the title referred to after
that? Ask yourself this question, Steve. To date, what has been the more successful promotion?
Well, Impact. It's been
actual
promotion.
That's
going
to be the name.
You would think, but who runs Impact Creative? That's the bigger question.
Global Force Impact Champion.
There you go. And then finally, our last question regarding this topic. Psycho Vic Holland says, if TNA is dead and Impact Wrestling is officially combined with GFW, why do they still use belts that say TNA on them? Answer the question.
That's emblematic of Impact as a whole.
They haven't. You know what? I'm guessing this. When they unify the titles, they'll have another new title.
They'll probably debut a new title.
They'll debut a new title with a new name.
But in the interim,
Global Championship. We like the name Global. Global Championship.
Yeah, Global is good.
The Global
Not
Impact
quite
Championship.
As good as Universal, but Global's good.
Global Impact Championship. That's a decent name. And you've got Jeff Jarrett's representation there.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea for a name. Global Impact Federation Wrestling. Force. All right, let's move on. That was too much fun. You're funny. You're great when you're salty. I like that you have a headache and we're talking about TNA.
It's not helping my headache at all.
It's helping the entertainment value.
Okay.
Okay, finally, we get the final, the postmortem on Mauro Ranallo. Oh, goodbye, everybody.
It seems like it. Newsweek reported Saturday morning, I think it was, when I got up, I thought I saw the story, that WWE and Mauro Ranallo have officially parted ways. Mauro sent Newsweek a statement which read, quote, WWE and I have mutually agreed to part ways. It has nothing to do with JBL.
Mm-hmm.
And then WWE subsequently confirmed Mauro's departure from the company and mentioned in that statement that he was still under contract till August 12th. So it seems like more or less they've relieved him of his duties.
Yeah.
But they're not letting him out of his contract until it expires.
Oh, no.
JBL also issued a statement to Newsweek.
Yeah. He says, admittedly, I took part in locker room pranks that existed within the industry years ago. WWE addressed my behavior and I responded accordingly, yet my past is being brought up because of recent unfounded rumors. I apologize if anything I said playing the bad guy on a TV show was misconstrued. WWE also, in conjunction, released a statement through Newsweek that read, As part of our commitment to creating an inclusive environment, in April 2011, WWE launched our anti-bullying campaign, Be a Star, which encourages young people to treat each other with tolerance and respect. As a publicly traded company, that mantra carries forward in our corporate culture. As such, we fully investigate any allegations of inappropriate behavior, including the recent alleged situation with JBL, despite no formal complaint having been submitted. When nobody's submitting a formal complaint on bullying in the WWE, Vince McMahon will literally wipe his butthole with it.
Probably.
What is this?
It seems like it.
Oh, it's my formal complaint. Watch. I'm going to take a crap on it.
Wow, Vince. So,
jeez, Vince.
Cage Side Seats reported that a Wrestling Observer mentioned, I think over the weekend as well, but Cage Side Seats had it on the rumor roundup today, that apparently Newsweek was working on a story prior to this about the Mauro Ranallo JBL bullying situation.
Is this the first time we've heard of Newsweek getting involved in the pro wrestling business?
I don't know if it's the first time, but it's the first time in recent memory.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't know the Newsweek was still a thing.
Sports Kita
issued an exclusive.
Every time you do that.
I don't know why. Sports Kita issued an exclusive report on Saturday stating the WWE has reached out to the reps of former UFC announcer Mike Goldberg. They had previously tried to bring Goldberg to the company in 2005 to replace JR when Vince McMahon told Mike Goldberg he's going to have to change his last name because McMahon was so in the wood on Bill Goldberg.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, do you believe Mauro? nothing to do with JBL.
Well, here, we got some questions. First question, Gassy Freddie Blassie. Do you think Mauro saying it had nothing to do with JBL was a condition of his early release? Will he ever get the full story, or do you think they already have a non-disclosure agreement in place?
Oh, well, this
first of all,
second question didn't have anything to do with the last question.
It wasn't an early release. Because they're still holding him to his contract till it expires on August 12th.
Which means
he can't do anything wrestling.
He can't do pro wrestling.
Which, I mean, based on what I know about his contract anyways, he was only exclusive to them in terms of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, he could still go do MMA stuff, or he was still calling Showtime boxing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He could still do that prior to this. He can still do it afterwards, is my understanding.
Okay.
He just can't cover any wrestling until his contract expires. I don't know if there's a no-compete clause for 90 days after, because I know sometimes that's the case when people get released.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the case when a contract expires.
Oh, you said August?
Yeah, August 12th.
Okay. Let's assume August 12th and then plus 90 days.
That'd be middle of November.
All right. Well, I could see it, because he was doing Axis, New Japan Axis shows before WWE. Mm-hmm. I could see he's probably going to go back to that.
Maybe. Well, JR is still under contract with them, and that's not his arrangement with them is not affected by his new deal with WWE.
Right. I just don't see that continuing after.
Maybe not.
I would suppose not.
Entirely possible. So, the first part of his question, do you think Morrow saying it had nothing to do with JBL was a condition of, let's say, his release?
Given how terse his statement was, it seemed like he said exactly what he was required to say.
Yes.
Oh, we're done. Nothing to do with JBL. Which probably means it had a lot to do with JBL. I don't know, man. Was it conditioned? I would say, yeah. I would speculate, yes. Will we ever get the full story? You don't think so? I would speculate, sure.
Well,
at some point.
You know, we'll probably get people talking about it. Will we ever get, you know?
Will we know the truth? No, we never know the truth.
Yeah, we'll never know the
truth. Will we get, you know, shoot interviews about it? Sure. Absolutely.
Maybe. I mean, if Morrow.
Not from Morrow.
Yeah, if Morrow signed a non-disclosure agreement, NDA.
We're never going to get it from him. He's above that kind of shit. When he's calling Showtime matches, when he's calling, like, you know, actual boxing matches, we're never going to get it from him, because he's not going to need that shit. We're never going to get it from JBL. We'll get it from people who are
possibly,
who were in the room at the time.
Possibly.
I mean, we've already had people sort of leak out on Wrestling Observer.
Off the record.
We've had a million people off the record talk about it.
Well, I guess the point would be, is anybody close enough to the situation gonna talk about it on the record?
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know.
Yeah, that's a different story. We're never gonna get like a WWE documentary on it.
No. I mean, like, you know, there could be people that work backstage or wrestlers now who in 5 years will do a shoot interview about it and say, yeah, I saw this, I heard about this. But again, that's not, I wouldn't, you know, in any way think that of that as an official account of what happened.
On the other hand, man, if Newsweek was doing a story about this, well, let me ask you this. If Newsweek was doing a story about this and then WWE is running statements through them, do you think, speculate, access to does this close the books on a Newsweek expose on Morrow JBL?
I don't know.
I would have no idea. Like, obviously WWE wouldn't want, if JBL was like terrorizing Morrow, WWE wouldn't want that to get out. So I would think they wouldn't want to cooperate with Newsweek if Newsweek was writing an expose on that.
Yeah.
And yet they're giving Newsweek statements, unless maybe Newsweek is the one literally asking for statements. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Are we ever going to get the full story? We'll get, like everything else, we'll get a lot of little snippets, and we'll probably be able to piece them together in some reasonable fashion. Will we ever get anything on the record? Probably not,
because
things never happen like that.
No. Dominic Broken Galaxy. Greetings, friendos. It's been rumored WWE is looking to sign former UFC commentator Mike Goldberg. What do you think about it? Would the situation with Morrow hurt the possibility of that happening?
That is a good question.
That is a good question.
Goldberg, you think about Goldberg, though, he... So Morrow came off as kind of a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg doesn't. Mm-mm. Dude, he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be, number one, I wouldn't be surprised if this represented somewhat of a culture change at WWE. I don't know for sure. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If people shut that kind of crap down. Goldberg's a big name.
He
kind of think that WWE is beneath him, to be honest with you. And I don't say that as like, oh, pro wrestling is crap. I just think that going from such a high-profile position at the UFC, going to calling, you know, dude, I don't like calling it the fake stuff.
Choreographed fighting.
Yeah. Like, going from calling that stuff to that, I don't know. He's like he's the biggest announcer in the UFC. I wouldn't see it. You never know.
Here's an issue.
I don't know what he said he wants to do.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because it was just the end of last year that he was not re-signed by UFC.
Okay.
But here's an issue to consider, I guess. When they brought Morrow in, from what I understand, it was because Vince wanted SmackDown to have more of a real fight, real sports feel.
And then they shut that down pretty quick.
Yeah, so if they bring in Mike Goldberg,
mm-hmm.
is it with the understanding that they're going to want him to call the show like Michael Cole does?
Yeah.
Or are they going to go back to the previous idea that they want it to be called like a real sports show?
Yeah. I would just be really surprised if Mike Goldberg came in was you know given Michael Cole's rules for announcing and was like, "The fuck is this?" Yeah, I don't know. I just this dude's been doing the he's been like the voice of the UFC essentially, and he's so good. I don't know.
As for the last part of his question about the Morrow situation, would it potentially, throw a wrench in whatever plans WWE has?
I would think this. I would think probably not, because he knows he can go in there and say, look, I'm not doing that shit. I'm not dealing with whatever bullshit you were throwing at him. So if I catch any whiff of that, my contract says I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And no compete clause, none of that shit.
Yeah.
I would think this would give Goldberg some leverage.
Potentially, assuming he wants to put himself in that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the flip side of that is he'll read about all this Morrow stuff and be like, why would I want to put myself there? Why would I want to do that?
If it's, I'll put it this way. If it's a lot of money, then which I think it would be, I would think that he would do more than just read stories about it. He would probably go there, investigate the situation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and cover his ass.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that he would go into it with a wary eye.
Yeah.
But I would think that would translate more to like
him trying to protect himself in the contract
and saying, "Hey, add another zero to that, you know, check you're going to write me, because you guys need, like, if I'm going to come in, that's a big boost to you guys after very publicly losing an announcer that a lot of people really, really like."
Yeah.
So,
Liam Brown. Hey, friendos, new patron here. Thank you very
much. Thank you, Liam.
Do you guys think it was wise of Morrow to take such obvious and public shots at WWE while he was still under contract? He refers to when Morrow said at the MMA show in Japan, it's good to say pro wrestler again.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think he has burned his bridges with the WWE?
I think they burned their bridges with him.
It seems like everybody burned their bridges with each other.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. For me personally, I can't stand that he's on Twitter blasting that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I've never been a big fan of people like doing dirty laundry in public,
mm-hmm.
you know, like on Twitter putting, you know, it's I guess in certain situations it works. It's just, I don't know. It's ugly. It's just, it's ugly. And it doesn't do much for me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No. Don't
know. Bitter, I'll put it this way. Bitter is not a good look on anybody.
No.
I'll say that.
Christopher Green. Hey, friendos, Chris here. How much do you think was pure speculation when it came to Morrow and that media and others were using JBL's past as fodder? There was an interesting bit of timing. Morrow left shortly thereafter. And we started hearing rumors about, you know, Morrow and JBL, you know, being at odds.
Right.
And then right after that was Justin Roberts' book,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, he told a story about how JBL was, you know, as he put it, stole his passport,
mm-hmm.
and talked a bit about how JBL was a bully. And this is, JBL being a bully is nothing new.
Yeah.
That's not news. We've known that for a long time.
Yeah.
But it just brought the subject back into public view.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Dave Meltzer, you know, was pretty clear on various episodes or issues of the newsletter going through and saying, you know, there was issues backstage going on, and mm-hmm. it kind of culminated with the episode of Bring It to the Table. We talked about last week on this show how, just based on what we've seen in public, that show, a couple Twitter exchanges, you know, I mean, it's not exactly like JBL was being a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem, just based on that,
mm-hmm.
that necessarily in a bubble.
Yeah.
Not, you know, separating that from everything else JBL has done, which is shitty.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Just those handful of incidences didn't necessarily seem like, in our eyes, it justified JBL being fired.
Right, yeah.
If there was other stuff going on backstage, then yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can make that justification. We probably would, too, if he was backstage harassing Morrow, you know, bullying him. not being a cooperative professional coworker, then yeah,
mm-hmm.
he probably should have been fired. Mm-hmm. But without evidence of that, we can't sit here and say, yeah, fire him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I kind of lost my... Oh, as far as... You got anything to add?
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was waiting. There's a couple of things. Number one, JBL seemed to be the public face of the culture there. That's what stunned me. Like, when I read the Wrestling Observer article, which broke down the culture,
in
terms of production, how it was very high schoolish in that there were
cool kids.
There
and
were
cool kids,
kids and yeah. not cool kids. And if you look dorky or if you weren't a tough guy, and they pick on Byron Saxon, even though, but he knows how to handle it.
Yeah.
And that to me is, that's horrible.
I know.
Like, that to me is more than just, oh, fire JBL. That to me sounds like there's a bunch of assholes backstage.
That is, it's a cultural issue within WWE.
Yeah.
That firing JBL would just, you know, the public face of this issue would be gone, but you really potentially...
The substantive stuff
you
would still
be there.
You wouldn't be
dealing with the issue at hand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what, like, who's picking on who back there? Like, who thinks they're, like, you're adults. And it's funny because Booker T on his podcast said, essentially, once you're out of high school, you can't be bullied. You're a grown man. You need to sack up. Essentially, that's what he said. That's not verbatim. That's not word for word. But that was his general thing. It was kind of a defense of JBL. And I number one, I disagree with that.
As do I.
And number two, if people are acting like ass, if there's an entire culture where you're backstage and everybody's an asshole, you're not going to want to be there.
No.
You know what I mean? And it's
whether,
like...
Whether that manifests itself in bullying.
Yeah.
But just if everybody's in the backstage area is just kind of a dick and treats you like... You know,
well, it's just unprofessional.
Yeah, it picks on you and stuff.
Like, you go to work, it's supposed to be a professional environment.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm sorry, you're running a business. Like, there should be HR guy. Like, everybody who has a job, and I know you and I, we've been in the same position. Whenever we've gone to a job, an actual professional job, they run those silly HR videos about not giving people massages at the copy machine and not saying, hey, lady, nice dress. You know, shit like that. And they're silly as hell. But there's a reason they run those videos, because you're not supposed to be a dick in the workplace.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be a dick in the workplace.
And if the culture there in the WWE is like just fostering a bunch of assholes, then firing JBL is not going to take care of that.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, you need to bring an HR department in there and start showing them some videos. make it a WWE Studios production.
The solution is more corporate videos, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Corporate instructional videos.
Exactly. But that brings us to, I need a JBL safe space. That's the name of the next person asking a question. Do you think the bullying or ribbing culture will ever change in WWE, since Vince is a well-known ribber?
Well, I think there's a difference between bullying and ribbing.
Like, yeah, there's that one where, like, didn't he make Jonathan Coachman cry because he like, got some cops?
Yeah. Yeah, because Coachman was running, like an in-house football pool or something
like
that. You know, which is technically illegal.
Well, I don't. Yeah, that's done. They do that. Yeah, my dad.
No,
does
I know.
That
everybody does.
Yeah, everybody does that shit.
And so yeah, like, they made a big scene where the cops were there and they acted like they were going to get him arrested, mm-hmm. and then they left him in the room for a bit. And I guess, according to Coachman, he cried for a while.
Yeah.
And then they kind of said, "Ha ha, joke's on you."
Yeah, Coachman seems like a crier. But yeah, I don't know. I would think that stuff would probably stop. I don't know. You would think. But who knows?
Gluing somebody's boots to the ceiling of the locker room.
That's a prank.
That's a prank.
That's funny.
That's a rib. That's okay.
That's okay. Where do you stand on crapping in somebody's duffel bag?
Too far. Way too far.
It's way too far, man. You can't be just shitting in people's duffel bags.
Yeah.
The doo-doo is too far.
That's way too far.
But the problem though, dude, seriously, is straight up, if it's going to change, I'll put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if they started instituting changes, and as people came in, as the turnover rate or as the turnover happened in jobs, then you'll see more change.
Yeah.
But people that are there right now, they don't change overnight. You don't change
no.
who you are.
No.
People are always hesitant to change, man.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Fat bastard cruiserweight champion Big Red Kaz says, where do you guys think Moro stands in the lineage of WWE announcers? According to Big Red Kaz, he says he's definitely no JR, but I definitely like him. Probably top five for the limited time he's been in the company.
I'll tell you this. Morrow was a way better announcer than Vince ever was.
Yeah, no, I think he's actually really high up there just on in terms of his match calling abilities.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's like,
you know, I kinda,
really high
up. Sorry to interrupt you, but I kind of wonder, because during the Cruiserweight Classic, he seemed very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't forcing in as many pop culture references.
Mm-hmm.
He and Daniel Bryan, their commentary is really enhancing the story of the matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, most of the time on SmackDown, we didn't really get to see.
Yeah.
You know, based on various reports, we heard that he was instructed to drop in pop culture references.
Yeah, I know. Commentary I know. Stuff. I know.
Which made it at times awkward.
Yeah.
Morrow and Daniel Bryan had good chemistry together.
Yeah.
JBL and Morrow had zero chemistry together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So it just makes me wonder if...
Did you bring this up, or did somebody else bring this up on Twitter when somebody mentioned, because I was talking about how Morrow used to talk to Lawler about his past.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently Morrow used to try to do that with JBL when they first were paired up together, and JBL would kind of no-sell him on stuff.
Yeah,
he wouldn't
yeah.
bring anything
yeah,
to the table,
to the tables,
so to speak. Yeah,
yeah. But if you're just, you know, going back through the history, and the list isn't huge of play-by-play announcers in WWE, Morrow's easily top six, I would guess.
I'll put it this way. I think he's already top six. I think he had the potential was there to make him like a top three. Like he could have been a JR. He could have been a JR if they had known how to do it properly. This ridiculous stuff about adding pop culture references. Morrow ended up being really, really good at that, which was really, really annoying because that shouldn't be part of the product. But he gave it his all.
Yeah.
He did everything that evidently they wanted him to do.
Yeah.
But what they wanted him to do, I don't know if it's the Kevin Dunn thing or it's the Vince thing. I don't know. But it's that kind of stuff is just, there's no place for that. Like, it's just, it's crap.
I know.
Like, JR was great.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do that stuff.
I really want to go back. Because I remember when Morrow first started doing commentating on SmackDown, I really liked him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really
me too. Yeah.
I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
Charles Sips. What is your favorite Morrow moment in WWE, and do you think the backlash to the bullying within WWE will lead to real change? To answer the first part of that question, the Kota Ibushi-Cedric Alexander match during the Cruiserweight Classic was so good because the in-ring storytelling was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Bryan and Morrow Nell's commentary
supported
the storytelling in the ring so well
that
it really added to the entertainment value of that match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's still the standout match of that whole tournament. And as such, you know, Morrow and Daniel Bryan were a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that'll always be my top Morrow moment.
Yeah. I don't really have one. I mean, there's nothing like you can think of JR moments. Like there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Morrow never had like a moment. Like he was solid in what he did.
Yeah.
Like, he was solid.
Yeah, but there's never, I know what you mean, like Hell in the Cell when Foley got thrown off and JR's commentary added so much to that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of praise because it's like if I don't notice you, like I can think of a lot of bad moments. I can think of a lot of, I don't know, of like other people.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, this is like, who's that dude? Mike Adam Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a bevy of like, does this guy even do his research?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So I guess it's kind of praise when I'm sitting here thinking, well, I can't notice. I mean, I can think of bad Morrow moments because of all the pop culture stuff, but I can't think of any good Morrow moments, which is a good thing because he didn't
detract from
when he was good. He didn't detract from the product. Yeah. And that's good to me.
Yes, that is good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. And do we think the backlash, the bullying within WWE will lead to real change?
I don't know, probably. I would like to think so.
I would like to hope so, at least.
Because publicly it looks terrible.
Yeah.
And that's what they respond to.
I'm sure in the most, you know, more immediately, they're going to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the hope is that people don't fall back into old habits.
Yeah.
You know, after the spotlight's off.
Yeah, yeah. The Greek Freak Steve Papa. Would you rather listen to Morrow commentating on your everyday life, including pop culture references, so WWE style, for a month, or watch WrestleMania 2 once a day for a year?
I'll take Morrow.
Yeah, because that's just a month. WrestleMania 2 is really long.
And it's bad.
And it's bad.
It's really bad.
I don't even care about it being bad. It's just, I don't have the time in my life to do that for a year. That sounds like too much. So Morrow for a month. That'd be kind of interesting, too. Oh, look at the grilled cheese. So much cheese on there. Cheesier than, I don't know, I don't have a pop culture reference. Boy, he's making that sandwich fast and furious. Ooh.
There you go.
Go. Oh, he's getting his cock cleaned. Whoa, Mauro. Stay away from my bedroom.
All right. So are you going to miss doing the Mauro impression? Are you still going to work it in?
Why do you think I would ever stop doing that? Oh, it's so fun. Goo.
I don't know.
It'll probably eventually go away because I have a short memory. No, I won't. It's a good. I'm fine with the trade-off. I'm fine because I honestly like all the pop culture shit. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah,
and I really like Tom Phillips.
I know, and I'm really hoping Tom Phillips gets a solid opportunity to really land the SmackDown job full time. Because I think he does.
Oh, you think that he might be temp?
I mean, if they're looking to bring Mike Goldberg in, maybe.
Yeah, huh? Boy, that would suck. Yeah, I really don't want Mike Goldberg there. I'll be honest with you, he's too much. like I don't know, man. Like I like that NXT like tries to foster guys, you know. Yeah. Like they try to foster their own talent. That's what I want. I want like former, I don't know, like I didn't know who Tom Phillips was before WWE.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I like that he's a WWE guy.
Yeah.
I think Mike Goldberg would be out of place. Be weird. What do you think? Do you want him there or no?
I really like what Tom Phillips does.
Me too.
I think right now that'd be my preference.
Yeah. Mike Goldberg I really like Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're fantastic. They're so good together.
They were fantastic, yeah.
So but I don't want that in, you know, I like what I got. I like what it is now. I like Tom Phillips.
Yes.
Let's keep it that way.
Yes.
So anyways. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Light news weekend.
Yeah. Well, Steiner, light news, really? Don't think so. Huge news. Big impact return. Global force return. Yeah, anyways.
Not really.
That's it for now. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.